This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Carrie Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars,
the voice,
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show here on a Tuesday evening. Beautiful, crisp weather here we're having in Northeast Florida, the kind that we normally don't get until we reach November. Feels like fall. Jaguars finish the first month of the season 2-2 and find themselves on their way to Buffalo for a, by the way, 59-degree day on Sunday afternoon at Ralph Wilson Stadium. You are invited, as always, to join us for the Jack Del Rio Show. The number, 355-6351. That's 355-NFL1. If you are outside of Jacksonville, outside of the direct calling area, 800-355-6351. And that phone number and phone call are free to you. Also, if you are part of the Twitterverse and you want to converse with the head coach, at Jags Voice, and we will make sure and get your questions on in the aftermath of a 31-28 win over the Colts that still has this town buzzing. I mean, just anywhere you go, Coach. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you, Brian. Good evening.
Nice to see you. And I imagine that the buzz, you know, sometimes you get more than you bargain for. You know, a win was going to be good enough, but a 59-yard field goal on the final play of the game, well, that was special.
It was. It was.
You can make me work tonight.
It was unbelievable, really, that the Scobie knocked that down and captured that moment the way he did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fitting ending. I mean, it could have gone a lot of different ways. I mean, we could have just intercepted the pass on 2nd and 10 that Peyton threw up there for grabs.
Yeah.
And put an end to it there.
David Jones could have pulled that pass in and sealed it too.
That one, I mean, so all those things could have happened right there, but. No, it didn't go that way. It came down to a last-second 59-yard kick, and Scobie drilled it.
I mean, it was right down the pipes. I think it fell off just to the right of absolute center at the very end.
It was perfect, though, because it was just enough for Jacksonville to catch
it
and then take off running.
Yeah, well, you know, he likes being on national television, so there's no doubt that it solved a lot of different dilemmas for people around Jacksonville. His ego was stroked with that one for sure. But you find yourself now.
Well, did you see him, by the way, speaking of Jacksonville, did you see him come off of the light stand or something up there? I mean, I don't know. I didn't see him jump.
I saw the highlight of it.
I just saw something like come over the top of my head after the flyover, which was incredible.
Right.
That might have been the best flyover ever.
It was as good as any I've ever seen.
So, but here comes this object, and I'm like, what is that? And all of a sudden, it's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Coming down,
loves it.
He's fearless to be up there doing that.
You have to. Well, he was standing up there when the planes flew over. That in and of itself, I mean, because those things kick off a little after.
That had to be a pretty wash. Had to be a pretty good view up there.
Yeah, absolutely. So back to football. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1. We can talk a little bit about that game, but more importantly, you go to Buffalo on Sunday, and you get a Bills team that is still looking for their first win. And we know in this league that any team on any given Sunday, which means you got to be sharp. The 24-hour rule is really 23 hours and 59 minutes this week.
No question. No, it's always, you know, for me, you know, when you know, people that don't understand, this league is about respect. And we certainly respect the Bills, the coaches, the players. We played them the last, I think, 4 years in a row. I mean, we understand each other. It's almost like a divisional team because we played them so much. And, look, they're going to be hungry. We should be hungry. We are hungry. And so I thought that last week was a great example of a team that maybe came in here in Indianapolis and did not respect what they were going to face. And I think it was a great example of that, and for our football team, you know, we're gonna be a team that's respectful of our opponents and how hard they all work and how, you know, we know ourselves, you know, how we felt and how we feel about where we are and where we want to go, And I think we understand the amount of work that goes into it and the urgency that we have to prepare with. So I expect us to get ready for a war, because I expect a war up in Buffalo.
Coach, if last week's win means anything or shows the fan base anything, it's just how week-to-week this league really is. And how a week ago there were storm clouds around this team, to use one website's phrase. And now this week you're in second place, 2-2. Colts are behind you, headed to Buffalo. I mean, the focus that's required to stay week-to-week is epic.
Yeah, and it's a week-to-week league. You have to be able to do that.
I mean, in some cases, you could argue it's quarter-to-quarter, half-to-half, even play-to-play.
Yeah.
Just to
the most important play is the next play.
That's not just coach speak.
Not just coach speak. It's true.
All right, folks.
And you do take them one at a time.
Please.
People don't like hearing that.
I did not mean to get that train rolling tonight. All right. Hey, the folks from Seabest Seafood dropped some amazing food by. So we're going to let the coach grab a quick bite of some of the shrimp scampi, and there's something with scallops, and it all looks really delicious. So we, by the way, Seabest in your freezer, your frozen food section at Winn-Dixie. This break, then more with head coach Jack Del Rio on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome back. Jack Del Rio Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. You can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Brian Sexton, along with head coach Jack Del Rio. Joe Fortunato is here. And you can join us at 355-6351 or 800-355-6351 or at Jags Voice if you're from the Twitterverse. By the way, last week the Bills cut Trent Edwards, who's now obviously your number two quarterback. And today they traded Marshawn Lynch, their 24-year-old former Pro Bowl running back, to Seattle. The reason they're able to do that, they got a pretty good stable of running backs up there, don't they?
Boy, they sure do. They've got a lot of talent there at that position, and I think what happened is that one earlier today we had heard that there was a chance he was going to get traded to Philadelphia. So evidently Seattle stepped up and offered more than Philadelphia did. But I guess Philadelphia was dealing with an injury to McCoy,
right?
And so that was the rumor that was circulating early this morning as we were beginning our preparation. And we were looking at their backs and looking at the tape and saying, man, they're loaded. Jackson is very good and has played well against us.
Right.
And obviously Spiller is extremely talented and just bursting upon the scene here in the league. And he's a dual threat as a return guy. And so there, and then here's Marshawn Lynch, who's a super player. So they had three really talented players at that position. A little bit of a luxury. I think they went ahead and moved him and got some value, and they still have a very loaded backfield.
Does this mean that, you're obviously doing the same thing I would do, is making or trying to make an educated guess, but do you think this means that C.J. Spiller takes a more featured role now? I mean, he's ninth pick in the draft, and a guy with electrifying ability. His numbers in terms of touches, opportunities haven't been that big yet, but now going into October, do you suppose that he now takes on a more feasible
role? Well, when you look at it, I mean, I can't answer for Chan Gailey.
Sure.
He'd have to answer that question. I can only say that
he probably wouldn't.
It's hard to get three guys at the same position involved. And sometimes it can be trying to get two involved. So that may be, that may have led to – I can't answer that, though. He'd have to answer that if he cares to. But I know from our standpoint – we know they have two very capable guys there. They had three, and so we know now that, we'll concentrate on those two.
You can join us, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1, if you'd like to join us on the program this evening. And let's grab Tudor from the South Side. Tudor, welcome to the program. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. Coach, congratulations. That was the best game I've ever seen. I just really wanted to tell you how much we were rejoicing over in the neighborhood for you and David Garrard and all the Jaguar players. I thought it was a fabulous win. I had a question, though. It concerns safety. I'm I'm seeing more and more helmets come flying off of the players. Like Maurice took a vicious lick down at the goal line. Looked like his helmet went up 5 or 6 feet in the air. Has there been a change made in the helmets, or are the players not wearing their chin straps, or are we just hitting each other that much harder this year? I was just wondering what that was.
Well, Tudor, first of all, let me thank you for the support and thank you for the call tonight.
Mike Thomas lost his helmet on the sideline, too.
Yeah, you know, that's something that it's perplexing to me. You know, I played a long time, a lot of football, high school, college, NFL. I never lost my helmet. I mean, I never, ever had my helmet pop off, ever. Never in a practice, never in a game. I was involved in a lot of collisions, so I'm not sure what's going on. I'm really not. I don't know if it's chin strap. I don't know if they wear them where they're really comfortable, and so they come on and off easier. I don't know, but I know my helmet always beat me up going on and off my ears and over my head, and it was always very tight, and I had a tight chin strap that worked, and I buckled it all the time, and I don't know. It's just, it amazes me. You know, I mean, it's your head. I mean, this is like your brains are in there. I mean, your life. I mean, it's very, Tudor brings up a great point because, you know, there are safety issues, you know, left and right throughout our league. And why these helmets pop off the way they do so frequently, it is alarming.
Well, and the league made it a point of emphasis this year, did they not? That if a player's helmet comes off, the play is dead.
Yes.
If the ball carrier.
Where he is
helmet,
at that point in time, yes.
The play is dead. Maurice could break through arm tackles, get popped, lose the helmet, and keep going to the end zone, but where the helmet is off his head, the play is dead.
That's right.
Correct?
We were fortunate he was in the end zone when his helmet came off, and we were fortunate he did not get hurt. Right. So it is a great question. I don't have the answer to it. I can tell you that, you know, our equipment manager, Drew Hampton, is one of the best in the league, that they recondition the helmets every week. They clean them and condition them every week. So they have new equipment every week in terms of chin straps and face masks and all the things that you need to do to have a helmet in proper condition. It's done every week, which is like above and beyond the call of duty. But it's amazing that we have guys where the helmet pops off.
You know, and I don't know whether you can answer this or not. It may be a question for Drew. Are these helmets more custom fitted than ever before? And the reason I ask is, when Brandon Jacobs lost his helmet into the stands, someone from the Colts security team went to retrieve it, and he said, no, it's my souvenir. And they said, no, these are custom helmets. They cost a lot of money. They're fit to the player's head. We got to have it back. And got the helmet back, obviously, from the fans.
How did it get up there?
That's a matter of debate.
Did anybody ever see it? Was it thrown, kicked?
I mean, yeah, that's why I didn't say. Yeah, who knows?
Nobody knows?
You know,
really?
I mean, evidently, he said that he was doing something and lost control of the helmet. So,
did anybody see it? Was it on TV?
No, I don't think anyone. I don't think so. I never saw it. I don't think anybody had a camera on it. He was way off the sideline when he lost it.
Nobody had an iPhone recording it?
You know, you'd think in our society today that almost anything would end up on the internet.
Okay.
But, Mike, so my question is, I mean, you say they recondition them.
We're going to have to talk to Drew.
Just curious.
You talked about
how you used to pull yours over your head.
Yeah, I did.
That's the old way.
Yeah, and you know, you'd pull out the ears.
Yeah.
To clear your ears, I mean, you have to pull out the sides of your helmet and then slide it down, and then it would clamp back down on your jawbone.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me.
All right, good question, Tudor. We certainly appreciate the conversation. We'll take a break. More to come with the head coach. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-NFL1. Thomas has been holding patiently in Mandarin. So we head south down San Jose Boulevard and check in with Thomas. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, Brian. Good to hear you're feeling better this week.
Yeah, thank you.
Jack, great win. I think the city really needed the win, so we appreciate you for doing that. And I had my free Sonny's barbecue sandwich last night, so that was enjoyable.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Jack, I got 2 questions for you. I tried calling last week, but I got cut off too soon. But what is your thoughts on the play of Evan Britton, the outside lineman, and also, the burning question this week is, what is up with Derek Harvey?
Okay, Thomas. Appreciate you tuning in. Sounds like you're a frequent listener and a fan that's there for us every week. So we appreciate that very much. Okay, you said Eben Britton first?
Yeah, just thoughts on Eben's play.
Eben, again, he's a second-year right tackle, and I think he's a good football player. I think he had a tremendous offseason. He got a little banged up in camp, and it kind of slowed him. And I know he right now is, you know, doing things like getting an extra lift and doing some things during the week to kind of get himself back, because he's really not quite back to where he was in terms of where he entered camp. I mean, he was on fire, in great shape, and physically, mentally, just really ready to roll. And he got set back, and he's been working his way back into, you know, top shape. And I think his confidence is coming. I think he's feeling better as a player, and certainly having a weekend where you don't allow a sack against a tandem like Freeney and Mathis, that's going to only bolster your confidence. So I think that's going well.
And then he wanted to talk a little bit about Derek Harvey on the other side.
Derek, you know, Derek had a tremendous offseason, really started camp, first week of camp on fire. I thought he had turned the corner. And, you know, quite frankly, the production just has not been there. And it's not that he doesn't work hard. It's not that he isn't, you know, being coached well. I think Coach Cullen does a heck of a job with the group. I mean, it just hasn't come together with the production that we need to see, and I know he wants to have. And so, you know, Mincy got a little extra time the other day and did a nice job with it. And, you know, in the time that Jeremy's been in there, he has been productive. And, you know, as a staff, we just want to reward the guys that are doing things the way we want them done. We're going to reward them and play them a little more. So you can expect Jeremy Mincy's time to increase.
Appreciate the phone call, 355-NFL1. Let's go up the road to Waycross, Georgia, where Jonathan is standing by. Jonathan, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Hey, Jonathan, what's on your mind tonight?
I was just wondering how it finally feels, because I've been watching y'all play Indianapolis in some really close games throughout the years, and how does it feel to finally get that big, big, big win on them on such a highly publicized event as it was last night?
Well, it was certainly nice to win this ball game. I think, we went up there and opened their building 2 years ago and beat them at their place to open.
Yeah, with another Scobie field goal.
Their Lucas Field. We opened with a victory on the road up there. So it's not that we don't ever beat them, but certainly in some of these close ball games over the years, Peyton has been able to lead them back and somehow pull out a victory. And it felt great that we were able to answer that. David goes down, makes a couple nice plays, and then Josh Scobie makes a huge kick to beat them. And so it was a huge win, and definitely glad to be able to share it here at home with our fans, and the excitement that they felt leaving the building was unbelievable.
Jonathan, thanks for the call. It was an amazing evening, and it has been an energetic couple of days since the Jaguars win. Let's try Jack up near the airport. Jack, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hey, fellas, how you doing? Great, great game. I mean, the crowd was awesome. My daughter and I were sitting in the south end zone, and we were just like sucking air trying to get that kick was coming right at us, man. We were like, come on, I think it's going to make it. It was unbelievable. But my question, Coach, is I think we have the Scobie's an awesome kicker. I think he's been very consistent the last few years, and he's just been near about perfect this year, I guess, all throughout camp and everything. We have, with Osgood and Montel, we have a key weapon for us. I was wondering about our rookies that we drafted as return men, what their health is. And I also would like to ask you about Austin Lane. And thanks for the great win. Like Brian said, the city really needed it, and I thought it was a great crowd, one of the best I've been a part of in a long time. So thank you, Coach.
Well, thank you, Jack. Appreciate the call, and I'm glad that you got out to the ball game with your daughter. I know as a youngster growing up how special that time was with my dad being able to go watch the Raiders play. Congrats to you for doing that. In terms of the return guys, first of all, Deji is back at practice, has been for a few weeks now in a limited basis. He's now full speed. We hope to have him available this weekend, and we'll look at that. Scotty McGee is not going to be able to play this year. We put him on IR. He had a shoulder injury that was going to take some time to heal, and so he is a young man that's going to have to wait for 2011. But he was an exciting young man when he was in there in the preseason. And so So Deji returns to action, and we should be able to get him out there and get him active soon. And then the last one he asked about was Austin Lane. Austin Lane is battling away, basically inactive the first month of the season, and he's another young man that we will expect him to contribute as the year unfolds, and possibly as early as this week. I mean, we'll see what we can do in terms of being able to get him up, but he's done a good job in practice. He's 100% healthy, and so he's just chomping at the bit waiting for an opportunity.
Nice to have young jars on the shelf like that, right? I mean,
no question.
Guys
no,
that you're
no.
developing behind your frontline guys.
No, really good, and we're going to count on him. I mean, he's a big, strong guy, and he's got a lot of want to, and so, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, hopefully we can create a little bit of time for him real soon here.
Grab one more phone call before our next break. Junior is actually in Buffalo, where, and I don't know whether I mentioned this or not, 59 and sunny on Sunday. Phenomenal football weather.
Beautiful.
Hey, Brian. How you, Coach? How you doing?
Hey, good. Junior. Good. How are you tonight?
Good. I just want to let you know I got the Labatt's Blue call nice and cold for you, and the chicken wings going to be nice and hot for you guys when you get up here in Buffalo.
Bats and chicken wings.
All right.
Sounds like a local staple.
That's a fact. But I just want to say, it's kind of a great win on Sunday. Also, I want to shout out to all the fans that came out Sunday. It's nice to see the fans come out to the game and cheering for the Jaguars and make me be proud of being part of the Jaguar Nation. I was proud to see all the fans cheering and hollering like that. During the game this week, really, I'm just hearing rumors all this week still going on that this is going to be the Bills' first win of their year, and that's what's kind of making me kind of mad. That I know they're trying to taking us a little too lightly, thinking that because of our 50-50 record, we're not playing that great. And I do think we are playing a little bit better. Our secondary this week played, I say, about 50% better than they have been in the first four games. Still, like I said, we still got a problem where man-to-man coverage, we're always seeing somebody run naked by himself. I wonder if anything we can do to fix that. Thanks, and I'll can't wait for Sunday.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Junior. Certainly appreciate that. Listen, it's going to be a war up there. I mean, they're a team that, you know, very badly wants to win. We're a team that very badly wants to win. You know, they've got weapons. And so, you know, I mean, it's going to be a challenge for us. And I know that we're excited about, you know, getting the opportunity to get up there and compete against them. I think this is 5 years in a row, Brian. Is that right?
No, you're right.
This will be 5 years in a row. So it's, you know, a team that we are very familiar with. 2 years ago, they beat us. Last year, we got them.
Right.
So this is definitely a team that we'll be fired up and excited to play.
Probably a great point to go back to what you said earlier, and that is it's about respect. So guys like me, guys on the radio, guys like Junior, fans out there, you know, you can look at the overlooking another team card or someone's
I don't think they'll overlook us.
No,
I don't think they will.
No, the Bills,
they might.
They're not.
They might, because when they watch the tape, you know, we're doing things. We need to do things a whole lot better.
Right.
I mean, I recognize that. And they probably are licking their chops. But
we're
going to get ready for them.
I just got to believe the respect card that you talked about earlier goes both ways,
well,
league-wide.
I think I like to think it would, but, you know, there are times when it doesn't. I mean, you know, we as a team last week felt a little bit disrespected by the Colts coming in here. And I can assure you that our football team is going to be humble and is going to be respectful of our opponents. And we're looking forward to the challenge that we know is in front of us. And we know Buffalo has some darn good players. And so we're gearing up for a battle. That's what we're expecting up there in Buffalo.
Ralph Wilson Stadium, 1 o'clock kickoff Sunday afternoon. We'll take a break. More to come with the head coach after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline, and you'll get $2 in Jag Bucks back. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach, and we're here until straight up 7 o'clock Eastern time. So if you'd like to join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. And Kelvin is in Atlanta with a thought on the secondary. Kelvin, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good evening.
Great. Glad you're feeling better, too.
Thank you.
Coach, how you doing?
Hey, Kelvin. Good evening. How you doing tonight?
Oh, it's great.
Good. What's on your mind?
First of all, I'm the one that met you. I brought my 9-year-old son when the team was up here for the Falcons camp. We took a picture with you. So
okay.
Appreciate you for that.
You bet. You bet.
Question is, what is the idea behind the schemes towards the end of the game with the defensive backfield? It seems like we're getting beat a lot late, and especially with the Colts. Why do we not play a prevent defense, or why do we not at least double up the number one receiver being Reggie Wayne?
Well, I can just tell you that, you know, on second down at the end of the game, we had an interception in our hands. On fourth down of that same drive, we just blew a coverage. We just flat out blew a coverage, and we had pressure. Peyton had to throw, and you know, we just left a guy alone. And so those are the kinds of things when we start making those routine plays better, it's going to look so much better. It's going to happen quickly. So, you know, we are a young team that is getting better. And so I really believe that we have not, you know, put a complete effort together yet. We're a quarter of the way through the season, and we've played well in spurts. And so, you know, like most young teams do, this team will improve as the year goes on. And our best football is in front of us. So, you know, we'll keep grinding. We'll keep teaching. We'll keep coaching. We'll keep explaining. We'll keep repping some of the things that we know will be good for us, and we'll get better at it.
Nice to see that Gerald Alexander returns to your team with something to prove. And, boy, did he. Made the big hit.
Yeah,
he
filled in nicely. You know, he ends up involved in a couple of real big plays. You know, he's a very proud guy. He did not have a good camp. He understands that. And, you know, when he was called on, he was available, came back, joined our football team, and rejoined our football team, and had an impact on the first game he was back in. So I know he was real happy about that.
Your safeties, your defensive backs this week see Lee Evans, who is, you know, like Fred used to say, small markets tend to get lost, team that hasn't been in the playoffs a lot. But you're talking about a guy who has more 80-yard touchdown passes, catches in his career, than any active player in the league today. I mean, that guy can really make things happen, can't he?
Yeah, he's a good player. And definitely one of the people that we have to have an eye on, get him slowed down. So we've played against some really good teams now. If you talk about, you know, offenses that we played to start the year, yeah. You know, we played the first-rated offense, the third-rated offense, the fourth-rated offense, and the ninth-rated offense. So we've gone up against some talented people, and this week will be no different.
Evans, though, the thing about him is he's kind of a blend of a bigger guy and a smaller guy because he doesn't play little. He plays big. I mean, Eddie Royal's a guy that kind of stays over the middle and then beats you after the catch. But this guy, I mean, I think he kind of even plays like a Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, whatever. Terrell Owens, I mean, he acts like he's 6'1".
Yeah, no, he's very good. I mean, he's very good. He's made some big plays against us. Like I said, we've played these guys the last 4 years, so we're familiar with them. They're familiar with us. And certainly he's one of the weapons as you go into the game you know you've got to deal with.
Grab another call here. Let's go to Orlando next, where Robert is standing by. Robert, welcome to the program. Good evening.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Hey, I was at the game on Sunday. My wife and I, we really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. The weather was great, and the crowd was unbelievable. Even the mascot was unbelievable when he made that catch at the end of the game. My question to you is, I saw a lot when you ran the option play and Garrard would actually fake to the right or the left, depending on the side of the field, and then roll out, I noticed that the linebackers were freezing, and they didn't know what was going on with that. Do you see yourself running a little bit more of the option and then bringing either a tight end or a wide receiver over on that same route, like a flanker route or a post route, to throw the ball down the field even more on that? I was just going to hang up and listen to your comments, and thanks a lot for the victory.
Okay, Robert, thank you. Appreciate the support from Orlando. You know what? You know, really, I don't like to get into too much schematic talk. I know that was a good wrinkle for us that we unveiled on Sunday and ran it a couple of times, and David did a nice job with it. And that's certainly something that he can do. You know, we really look to play to his strengths. We look to play the strengths of our football team. That's what we're about as coaches. And I thought that we did some things moving the pocket a little bit. We did some things with rollouts and bootlegs and then the option stuff, and he did a nice job with it. So, you know, obviously we'll look for other opportunities where we think we can utilize those things and continue to utilize the strengths that David Garrard brings.
Appreciate the phone call from Orlando. This break, then more with the head coach after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You'll get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Rolling right along here with the head coach, let's grab Jeffrey from Whiteman Air Force Base in Knobnoster, Missouri. Do you know, Coach, what Whiteman Air Force Base is famous for?
I do not.
That's where the stealth bombers are headquartered. That's where they fly out of.
And
that's where Jeffrey is tonight. Hello, Jeffrey. How are things in Knobnoster?
Hey, how's it going, Jack?
I'm doing well, Jeffrey. How are you tonight?
Doing good. Got a question for you. First off, I just got back from the desert, so I'm pretty excited about the season.
Welcome home.
I'm able to see it here now instead of at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Welcome back. What's on your mind tonight?
In the military, we pride ourselves on military discipline. Not to get too high or get too low and have a steady keel every time, no matter what's going on.
Yes.
And I was just curious, what are you guys doing to kind of ease the excitement from the awesome win yesterday?
Well, I think very much modeling ourselves after you and what you do. We really want to be a football team that is mature, is disciplined, is focused, and understands the need to prepare for the opportunities that we get each week. And I believe that more so than at any time in my 8 years here, we have a group of young men that are committed to that and that have been steadfast in their discipline and their focus and their effort and their energy and all those kinds of things that help you play at a more consistent basis. Now, that has not guaranteed that it's all gone the way we'd like, because in week two and week three, we didn't get it done. But I can assure you the preparation has been outstanding. The guys, the energy and the focus and the commitment has been unwavering. And so we're gonna stay the course. And we're going to look to prepare very hard for this opponent and go in there just exactly as you described it, with discipline and focus and great desire to win this game.
All right, Jeffrey, welcome home. Glad to have you back. We'll take a break, come back with more with head coach Jack Del Rio after this quick timeout. You're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Here we go. For the win. 5 seconds to play. 28-28. 59 yards out. The franchise best and personal best. The captain has put the kick up on the way. Scobie's got plenty of distance.
Crushed.
And he got it from 59 yards away for the win. Cowboy! Oh, yeah! 59 yards!
You were standing up. Were you high-fiving or anything?
No.
Can't quite go there?
No. I was so wrapped up in the moment that I wasn't paying attention to anyone else. I was following the ball, and then it was just I was watching the crowd.
How about Loggy? He says he crushed it.
Yeah, he knew right away. But, I can't tell. I lose the ball until it crosses the goal post, and I wait for the officials to tell me it's good.
Right.
So I had to wait, and Loggy knew from the moment it left his foot. Hmm. But I will say, I was watching Scobie's reaction, and he didn't show any right away. I mean, he just stood there like...
Well, he hit it straight. You just didn't know it was going to get there. That's a long kick.
Yeah, it's a real long kick. By the way, last night, I saw something on NFL Network, and they were talking about longest field goals in NFL history. And Tom Dempsey's NFL record, which Jason Elam tied against these Jaguars in Denver in 98, 63 yards in New Orleans, Tulane Stadium against the Lions. Because the goalpost was on the goal line in 1970, he kicked that ball from his own 37-yard line. I mean, that's amazing. When you just the visual of that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even think about trying something like that. You told us back in August, Josh has got the leg, and you were trying not to put him in too many ridiculously long situations. Obviously, this one, though, I mean, you had to have
Well, game winners, yeah. You got to take a shot at that.
But he's been great for you this year. I mean, he's kicked everything's more than 44 yards, perfect on every kick that you've asked him. And
He's off to a good start, and we're going to need that from him. You know, I mean, we need everybody. We need every guy. We need a little bit more from every guy on our football team. And as a football team, we can accomplish something special. But it's going to take a little bit more from everybody involved.
Well, and your special teams have been very, very good. I mean, Podlish punted the heck out of the ball all season long. And then you get that kick from Scobie. And then we're talking about, you know, Tyquan had another nice return for you the other
day.
Yeah.
Solid.
He's not a return man.
The one thing that's bothered me, and I alluded to this the other day in my press conference, is that each of the first four games, we've had a big return called back by a blocking in the back, by a holding, a takedown, something where, in fact, I even showed film of Boise State getting a return run against them by Oregon State, and there were two examples of the guy pulling off and using a little butt block and not throwing where he would have been flagged if he had. So just creating the awareness that we need to be better in this situation. And I believe we'll grow as a football team and be better as we go forward. But certainly four big returns that have been called back.
And
something to build on.
Yeah, something to build on. And if you get Kareem back soon, obviously the opportunity is right there. Take a break, come back, wrap this baby up. Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Jaguars in Buffalo Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll begin things at 10. We haven't had a 1 o'clock kickoff since opening day. 10 o'clock for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show. Then Jaguars pregame, followed by kickoff. Then the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Back on the road. I know it is a challenge that you savor. You like going on the road. You like the challenge. I mean,
well, I love challenges. I love challenges. I think that's what makes this league special. We're 0-1 on the road this year.
Right.
All right, and we need to get even. We need to go up there and find a way to win and bring a victory home to Jacksonville.
And they may be 0-4, but when that place fills up now, that's a big stadium with some rabid fans.
Yeah, that the whole record thing, you know, really don't care to hear about that. Because to me, we see the talent. You know, watch the tape. You know, this is a team that has plenty of talented players, and I know they're hungry. And I know we are. So we're looking forward to the battle.
You know, one guy on defense, and we haven't talked a whole lot about their defense, but a guy that can really bring it, like Campman, is Kelsey.
Yeah.
You know, on the defensive end, he just got a new contract extension, and he's the kind of guy that tips balls and intercepts them. I mean, he is a water wheel. He just never stops
moving. The guy that gave us the most trouble is up inside, the kid from LSU, Williams.
Kyle Williams.
Kyle's a tenacious player and really kind of the heart and soul of their defense. I mean, up there in the middle, he gave us fits last year. I mean, he really gave our interior linemen a rough day.
And they have a couple of safeties, too, in Whitner and Jarius Byrd, who last year had 8 interceptions.
Yep. Good players.
So a lot of different challenges. Then, you know, Roscoe Parrish.
Well, they've got three former Jags on their defense. You don't think they're excited to play us?
Marcus Stroud.
Yeah. Drayton Florence.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. He was only here.
And Aiken Adell.
And Aiken. I forgot they brought Aiken.
I mean, come on. I mean, you know, listen, we understand. Former Jag players, we dealt with that with the Houston Texans for a number of years, had former Jags. A
lot of energy.
Yeah, you're always fired up to play a team that you once played for.
Yeah,
I don't care who you are.
Or
you
how
can,
long ago.
And you can poo-poo it and downplay it all
I'm
you
not.
Want. No, I'm saying they may, but the reality is they'll be cranked up.
Have a good week at the practice field, Coach.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, that'll do it for the Jack Del Rio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.